we're going to start with the deal on emissions. Farming and environmental groups criticise 25% agriculture cut is the headline in the front of the Irish Times this morning. The Irish Examiner takes a different view. Emissions cuts fall short of required 51%. Government faces backlash from many quarters as 25% target for agriculture labelled a shocking failure. Farmers urged to go green if you want grants is the headline in the Irish Daily Mail this morning. Coalition agrees historic deal to reduce emissions targets for agriculture by 25% by 2030. That's just some of the reaction in the front pages of our newspapers this morning to this carbon emissions deal. The chair of the Climate Change Advisory Council has said that while the government's emissions cut plan is an important milestone, the sectoral targets are problematic and not consistent with the Climate Action and Low Carbon Development Act. Marie Donnelly said that the agreed targets will need to be revised upward and monitored closely in the light of experience. And there's concentration as well on part of the targets being kind of punted off into the future, where the government put aside, I think it's 5 million tonnes of emission targets, and put it down to, we will achieve this through future technologies and technological developments between now and 2030. And if you've heard that before, I wouldn't blame you. Anyone who paid close attention or any attention to the Brexit deal or Brexit talks about how they're going to sort out the Northern Ireland Protocol, how they're going to provide for frictionless trade between the United Kingdom and the European Union. Future technologies, inverted commas, was the word that was used by many promoting Brexit and saying it'll all be grand on the day because we'll have new ways of getting people and checking people and goods between one border or another. I haven't seen any development along those lines since, so a little bit vague, a little bit woolly perhaps on that element of it, but that's all still to be worked out. If you have an opinion or view on it, get in touch with us. A lot of focus on farming, of course, because, and not really fair on one level, because there are huge cuts and in other sectors, but the reason why there's so much attention to agriculture was because it was such, has such a big impact on society and such a big impact to a huge industry in this county and in this country, and was the major sticking point and the major political pressure point for this coalition, as worked out over the last number of days and as agreed last evening. As I said, if you've used it, get in touch with us on the show. We've got Paul O'Brien, who's with the Irish Farmers Association Environmental and Rural Affairs Committee Chair, with me on the line. Paul, good morning to you and thanks for talking to us on the programme this morning.
Good morning, Gerry, and to all of you listeners.
Okay, what's your reaction? Agriculture, the biggest emitter, a lot of political pressure around what the rate would be. Would it be 30%? Would it be 22%? It's landed on 25%.
Okay, well, look, there's no doubt this morning that farmers are going to wake up and be very disappointed that a figure of 25% has been attributed to our industry. And, Gerry, look, let's just go maybe take one step back and go forward, but the step back is very clearly, why did we look for 22%? 22% was looked for basically because there was no clear pathway to bring us from 22% upwards. All of the work that has been done on farms throughout the country and in your own county as well in Kerry, the low emission, slowly spreading systems, the protected urea that has now been used, the fertilised change, incorporation of new swards, better breeding, all of this was designed to get us to a figure that we could work with. But once we went past about 18%, that was all hope. From 18 to 22 would have been hope, because the technologies to get us there have not been perfected as of yet. So taking us to a new figure of 25% now means that we have another 3%. Now, we're talking 3%. It doesn't sound a lot, but when you add it up over how much tons does this really mean for agriculture now to have to reduce its emissions by, that will add up to a lot. And that's where the problem is. So if you're asking me today, are the IFA happy about this? We're most certainly not.
Do you think that it will require the 25%, obviously deeper cuts, but cuts to national herd and other issues that you fear will harm the viability of Irish farms?
Well, at the moment, the reality is that you know, this figure has just been set out there, and it's only been set for one reason. That was to bring political stability back to this debate. It follows no sense and it follows no logic in real terms. Because, as was clearly evident in the build-up to this target being set, there was no pathway. The Department of Agriculture, the Department of Environment and Climate Change and Communications, they clearly have stated in the build-up to this that there is no ability to bring agriculture past the 22%. So this is where now the problem is. We're going to have to put the ball back very much now back into the government's hands and say, what are you going to do in order to protect farm viabilities, in order to mean that there is no such thing as a production cut going forward? And that's the problem.
Is that possible, Paul? Is that possible? Is it possible to achieve those cuts without a production cut, without a reduction, without going in a different direction?
Well, there are most certainly, there are farmers out there who are probably coming to a certain age in their life and have no successors. Maybe something can be done for them. And there are works being done, the Dairy Vision Group and the Livestock Vision Group, which is allowing farmers to exit the business if they wish, Jerry. And that's the big thing, if they wish. So from now on, your listeners are going to be hearing terms like just transition funding. Incentivize farmers who wish to exit the business, and then at that stage there has to be given an opportunity to exit the stage with the respect that they deserve. And that will come, I'm sure, but that will only come with a large incentivized payment in order for them
you're looking for the detail on that. There's another major element in this, and it's the land use situation, the land use review, which has been carried out. We learned this morning through Junior Minister Pippa Hackett that that's going to take 18 months to complete. That's to do with bogs, to do with forestry and how our land is used. So how important is all of that? How much do we still do not know in terms of where we need to go, because we're waiting for that report?
Well, the thing that has been lost in this whole debate over the last couple of months, and really the build-up over the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and part of it has become very, very toxic, was always the figure, agriculture is the biggest emitter. The biggest emitter. We heard 37%, and I'm not disputing that. But where was the other 63%? That came from fossil fuels. But the reality is that farmers will now, as a result of this target being set, and LULUCF, land use change in forestry, being shoved out by, you know, for another 18 months or so, until it allows the real figures, the real understanding of how that's going
to
change.
What needs to be done,
What needs to be done. But the reality is that farmers are now going to be expected to help other sectors, particularly the energy sector. So when we hear about anaerobic digestion and we hear about solar panels will be allowed to be installed on farmers' sheds and in their houses, all of those will be going to energy. The benefits that farmers will be doing...
So they won't be coming off the farming targets, you're saying, your argument there. They won't be applied to farmers' targets. Yeah.
So we hear everything wrong that agriculture has been accused of, but we hear nothing, particularly LULUCF and particularly the energy, that we will be helping other sectors. And when it comes to the re-wetting and forestry and all of these, we are the only show in town. There is no other segment of industry or the economy that has the ability to sequester carbon.
Is that not reflected in the fact that it is only 25%, and that the only sector which will be expected to reduce emissions by 50%, the only one that's asked to make the top cut outlined in the Climate Act, is transport?
But nobody's focused this morning on the mid-range that was reached for industry as well, though, Jerry. That was very, very designed to be in the middle as well.
Yeah.
But all the focus and build-up to this has all been on agriculture.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you want to see more explanation of how that was worked out, Paul? We're going to
We need a plan.
Yeah, and that's
we
the key
need a
thing
plan.
Now. How do we get there?
Essential now that we have a plan.
Okay. Finally, will farmers accept this and work with this, or are we going to see a situation of major protest like we had in the Netherlands, for example?
Well, I think really the build-up to this, we were trying to suggest to all of the politicians and the IFA, we put our shoulder to the wheel on this and we really embraced this campaign because we could all see the damage, the potential damage it could occur. And every time we sat in front of the politicians, it was very easy to say, well, look what's happening in other countries in Europe. And this is because ambitions were set that were only going to have a negative impact on their individual farm families' viabilities. And that is something in IFA that we are very, very focused on. There has to be as many farmers who want to farm going forward as they possibly can. So to reshape this, this is now where the discussions are now going to have to lead on to.
Okay.
How can we stop what happened in Holland and Germany and France, and it has escalated into places like Spain? That comes now with money being given to incentivize farmers who, if they wish to leave the business, they can
leave the business.
Do that.
Okay.
Very much with respect and understanding of the role that they've played to deliver food for families, not only in Ireland, but for the rest of the world as well.
Okay. All right, Paul, listen, that's where we're going to leave it. That's the state of discussion from the Irish Farmers Association, Paul O'Brien, Environmental and Rural Affairs Committee Chair. If you have a view on it, get in touch. We'll have more on the way. To talk about this in more detail is Sinn Féin TD for Kerry, Pat Daly, and also we have Cleo Murphy, Green Party representative for the Cumhere Municipal District as well. Deputy Daly, good morning to you. What's your reaction to what's been announced here, I suppose?
Well, I suppose in a nutshell, Gerry, we have the targets now, and let's see the devil in the detail. Let's see the plan. I'd met with a number of weeks ago with representatives of the IFA, and in order to discuss the challenges that they saw in the agricultural sector. It's a fact that we are an island. We need food. We're capable of producing much of this food at home, but agriculture becomes non-viable with. You're trying to ring me on the other line there, Gerard. But an act which came in July of 2021, just again at around this time of the year before the Dáil broke up, the Climate Action and the Low Carbon Development Amendment Act. Now, there are legally binding targets set in there of 51% reduction in emissions by 2030 relative to what was there in 2018. So there's been all this debate over the last, whether it's going to be 22%, obviously, which is what the IFA were seeking, and 30% compared to that 2018 baseline. So we have to be taken into account, of course, that agriculture employs 165,000 people, mostly in rural areas such as Kerry, and there are a lot of accommodations being made for data centres, for example. Government are rolling out red carpet, giving them tax breaks without any plan for energy sustainability. So in addition to agriculture, there are other areas such as in electricity, which is 75% reduction, home residences, 40% reduction, 35% for industry. So we have these targets now that has been announced yesterday, but we have to wait and see how they're going to deliver those. The government must honour it. They gave a commitment to publish all of the analysis which informed these negotiations. We haven't seen them, and the government needs to move away from a kind of a divisive, punitive approach to farmers and to other people, and their approach to climate action, if they have to have any chance of achieving these.
Yeah, you have to move together, and I know ministers were saying that we have to be ambitious, we have to be bold. This will not work if it's divisive aim in mindset. This will not work for pointing the finger or blaming one sector or the other. This is only going to work when it's good for every section of our society. Does the opposition not have a role here, a key role here, in not stoking up and fueling a divisive debate for political ends?
Well, are you saying that does Sinn Féin have
Well, Sinn Féin haven't said much, first of all, in relation to exactly where you stand before these came out. You're saying you don't have the detail, you're looking for that now.
Well,
but on the other side, some members of the opposition, some independents have been very specific and made clear threats about you'll pay at the ballot box and we're watching and you're pulling the rug from under rural Ireland and whipping up the pressure on it.
You're correct in saying that, I suppose, but they're going to have to answer for themselves. We all along, and particularly over the last number of weeks, we've asked the government in parliamentary questions, and we asked for publication of all these consultant reports which they were deciding. Now, I'd like to think that it wasn't just we're offering 22, we're offering 30, and they just hit a figure in the middle, that there was more informed the debates and the negotiations between the various parties than just that. But we had sought all of these consultants' reports, which are being used to inform the ceilings. We know that there's private consultants' reports have gone in from McKinsey consultants, and there was other ones as well, and they were used to inform it, as was the case, by the way, for the climate action plans of 2019 and 2021. But the government hadn't published those, so we weren't going to get involved in the debate and say, well, it has to be 22% or it has to be 29%. But we asked for publication of those, and we weren't given them. But what we are saying is that, and it goes back to our input into, controversially, some people would say, the taxation, the carbon tax. So we've always argued for a just and fair transition. So it's not fair to load, for example, all the extra punitive cases on top of turf cutters, for example, on people who rely on solid fuel. And if you go around the houses of Kerry, you will see that it's those people that are suffering the most from the cost of living crisis. So there must be just and fair transition. So and to get the, because there is massive public support for a reduction in emissions and meeting climate change targets, if we can see what the evidence is there for them. So the public support must not be achieved in any other way. Okay. So we would ensure, for example, just to finish on this, that we will ensure that the planning system is equipped to deal with the delays, invest in offshore wind resource, and change the mindset as well of people. I remember being on, when we were in the council, three councillors of us, there was a meeting in Rathmore, and three of us took public transport to the meeting in Rathmore from three councillors. And when I said it to people, they laughed as to, why would you do that for? You know, when there's a good public transit support system, which suited us at the time to get from here to Rathmore, but it just, people would not think of using public transport.
Okay.
So we must invest in public transport. I have to give the Green Party
time as well. Cleo Murphy is with me on the line. Cleo Murphy, what's your reaction to what was announced? Does this go far enough for some members of your party?
Good morning, Gerry, and delighted to hear Pat was taking public transport to Rathmore. There is indeed a lot of good news coming in terms of public transport. Politically, I've been talking to members of the Green Party in Kerry. There are some people who are very disappointed that higher percentages of emissions reductions weren't sought. But generally speaking, the feeling is that it's as high as it is because we're there, and it wouldn't be as high as it is if we weren't there. So people are generally pleased with the level of action that the Green Party is taking. There is a vision for the future. There is standing up to strong lobbies. There is negotiation, and there is a result, and we can move forward now with that result. And I would say the one thing about settling these sectoral emissions targets now is that it is really going to focus the minds of people on the work that needs to be done, because there's no messing about here. There's a very strict targets now that have to be achieved, and I think people will turn around and think harder about how we're going to achieve them.
What's your response to the promise made by the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConlogue? He said no farmer would be forced to cut their herd as a result of the carbon emissions reduction plan. He denied the 25% sector target would entail a 13% decrease in beef herd and 11% in dairy cattle. Is that possible?
I think he's correct in saying that there won't be a cull as such. I do think as farmers diversify into other revenue streams, there may be a natural decrease in the number of animals that we're keeping, and that would be a good thing, because we're overdoing it in terms of beef and dairy at the moment. And remember, we're not doing that to feed ourselves. We're doing that for very profitable exports. We're exporting, I think, about 90% of the beef and dairy that we're producing. I'd like to see farmers moving more into the other types of food that we also require. We're importing vegetables, we're importing potatoes, which is extraordinary. And I do think we need to go back to a more balanced type of farming that will keep us fed, without depending as heavily as we do on imports. Of course, we'll always...
But will it pay farmers is the big question.
Well, there's all sorts of supports coming for farmers, and there are many different ways in which land can be used to create an income. It's just that we've been overly focused on beef and dairy, but we can use land for solar, we can use land for forestry, for organics. Minister Pippa Hackett, the Green Party Minister in the Department of Agriculture, is doing huge work in terms of promoting organic farming, and this wasn't being done before she was there. I mean, it was there at a very low level, but there was no encouragement. She's fighting for more money for it, and it is the way to go, because the farmers who are farming organically are not being hit with the fertilizer costs that other farmers are. So, you know, the reduction of fertilizer is a huge part of this mix. She's also supporting the, you know, that we're not dependent solely on ryegrass, that we have more clover and mixed species swards that will also benefit in terms of if there's any class of drought coming, which there may well be, and we experienced it in 2017. You have a better chance with that type of a crop, you know.
You feel your party will support this and move on from here, that you won't lose anyone over it, because other parties or opposition parties calling this a shocking failure to deliver on realistic targets that are needed.
I can't say whether we will lose certain people or not, but generally speaking, I think there is an appetite for getting behind this. It was a hard-fought negotiation, there's no doubt about that. The IFA have a very strong lobby, and the Green Party stood up to that and came to an agreement, and that there's a certain skill in that as well. I think people will get behind this. Of course, okay. There are people who are disappointed that there is more, but you know, it's not just about agriculture. You have to remember that industry is being asked for 35% reduction, transport is being asked for 50% reduction,
and electricity
is 75%. Yeah, so we're all in this together, and I think maybe we're over focusing a bit on agriculture.
Okay.
Farmers are part of the wider community as well, so there are other ways where they'll be able to contribute.
Okay, final question for you, Deputy Pat Daly. Why didn't Sinn Féin set out what they believe was an acceptable emissions target when other opposition parties did? Are you sitting on the fence, afraid to upset anybody?
Well, no, is the answer to that. But what we wanted to see was what's the evidence and what are they basing it, these figures on. We haven't seen that. We asked for it numerous times. But one thing that I would worry about, Gerry, is that the Climate Oversight Committee that was set up by the government, they met only once in the last 2 years. And you know, that's not good enough. And you know, Irish farmers, you know, we already have the second most efficient dairy producer in the world after New Zealand, and we're the fifth most carbon efficient beef producer. So farmers are already adapting to more environmentally sustainable practices, as was said earlier on, the low emission slurry spreading, maintenance hedgerows, etc. So I think farmers will be able to put no more than farmers. We also need to see what are the statistics, what is the evidence and the analysis that is based on this. So it's easy for people to pick a figure out of the sky and say it's 22, it should be 22%, or it should be 29%. But in order to fix it, we have to have some reasonable analysis before
we will get Deputy Pat Daly of Sinn Féin and Cleo Murphy of the Green Party. Thanks very much for talking to us.